Greetings. This is Pastor Yane, and I'm part of the Restored Government of God. My teaching today is called The Christ-Centered Life. What does it mean to live a Christ-centered life? Simply put, living a Christ-centered life means that Christ must be at the center of our faith. The first thing that God does to make this happen is to place Jesus' covenant in our faith. That has not been done since the book of Acts, where the apostles were actively teaching and instructing what faith means to Jesus' covenant and what his covenant means to faith. The return of the church to Jesus' covenant is how God changed everything. Before the shift to covenant, teaching about the importance of having a Christ-centered life was a simple task of pointing out problems. You can Google how much a Christ-centered life is talked about from the vantage point of the problem. I read, for example, one author saying that many of us leave little room for Christ in our Christianity. The problem that so many experience is emptiness, which then leads to hopelessness. What happened? So many say that they wanted to live their life for Christ, but where is Christ in their Christianity? What God is pointing out is that when covenant is missing, a person does not know how to work with his covenant knowledge and tools to allow him to fill their souls with the living treasures of Christ. There are hundreds of ways to say that your soul is empty and that you feel hopeless, and there are hundreds of ways to restate the obvious without getting any closer to the things that God placed in Jesus' covenant for our contact with him. So the church is rounding that corner to understand that just stating the obvious about the problem or stating the obvious about what you want your faith to be about does not center faith on Jesus Christ. I want us to look at some of those obvious statements just to see how many ways people have stated the obvious about what they want their faith to be about. I'm sure you've heard them too. They sound like this. A Christ-centered life is deeply intimate and motivated by relationship. Or this, a Christ-centered life is loving and serving others. Or this, a Christ-centered life means that Christ is the very heart and core of the Christian's life. And a final quote, the Christ-centered life is a spirit-filled life. So okay, we can see that these are statements about what people obviously want. To state the obvious is not the same as teaching truth. To state the obvious is to tell people what they already know and understand, what they want. People already know what they want, but God doesn't make that a reality until Jesus' covenant is opened up for you. It's Jesus' covenant that people don't know anything about, and that's why we're going to spend some time making those connections for you. First of all, when something is the center of our attention, it means our focus is set on achieving that specific goal. God's goal for our faith is to take on the image of Christ. To achieve this goal, we need to define life from God's covenant perspective to ensure that a lifestyle of faith is maintained that reflects Christ. Jesus has already provided everything for our faith to be perfect in him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Faith, however, can be misdirected onto the focus of one's own life when not joined to the very things that keep your faith tethered to Christ. So we will be looking at how God has restored truth through the apostolic calling to ensure faith does not get misdirected by the flesh and remain centered on Christ. The restoration of the soul is God's focus and also ours. Christ-centered spiritual transformation is God's intelligent design for the soul to be restored to the image of Jesus Christ, for faith to reflect him in word and in deed. God restored the covenant of Jesus Christ as the true path for faith. Through his apostles, Jesus raised up the original foundation of truth as the blueprint for faith according to God's divine design. The transformation of the soul follows the divine design of God, which places Christ at the center of faith. We begin to see that faithful obedience to God's plan leads to the fulfilling of his will to form Christ in us. This is central to our Christian growth, So we will also be learning about how Jesus set the pattern for faith to experience his virtue as he transforms the soul. He provides the pattern and power for the transformation of the soul in the covenant, which is why our conformity to God's government, spirit, and truth is necessary for spiritual transformation. This threefold cord joins us to him for us to experience his power. Jesus is at the center of this work in the soul as the mediator of the covenant and oversees, empowers, and confirms this work in us through each of these contact points that grant us access to God's grace. For Christ to be the center of faith, faith must follow God's path that begins with a covenant relationship. God established the terms of our engaging with him according to the Spirit and truth. Before transformation can take place, God first separates us from the world by joining us to him through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit that bears witness to Christ in truth, confirming his work in the soul as we take on the image and likeness of Christ. God set the pattern for transformation in Jesus. Transformation describes the change that takes place in the soul or in a man. Ephesians 3:16. God is changing the very nature of man. God transforms the soul and spirit of man through a process of cleansing, healing, and deliverance called regeneration. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Why is God transforming the soul of man? The soul carries the likeness of the flesh that is reflected in the kingdom of darkness that we were born into. God is healing the soul and restoring it, at the same time forming the life of Christ in us that reflects again his image in righteousness. The natural man, however, is inclined to view life from the needs of the flesh and the circumstances surrounding his peace and security. The natural man is touched by the things that define his own soul and design. And that's where faith gets misdirected. When faith is defined from this perspective of lack and need, the natural man draws from the history of the flesh and what he knows comes naturally to him. But God does not define faith by the flesh. God defines faith by the Spirit. The flesh is what we are putting off and what is being put to death. We are overcoming the flesh by the Spirit, and as you do, you are overcoming the inclinations of your first birth. God writes a new history in the soul that reflects his increase. Colossians 3:1-3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are from above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus provided a new and living way for all believers to be joined to him. Our lives are now hid in him, because through the Spirit we serve him and know him according to the second covenant commandments. We are no longer defining life by the flesh, but from the perspective of God by the Spirit. We set our affections on the things he empowered through his death and resurrection for us to experience his life transform our souls. In verse 2 we read that we must put our affection on the things from above and that we should seek those things from above. These things the Apostle Paul is speaking about are the things that join our faith to God. We touched on the first three earlier in the teaching when we spoke about the threefold cord of God's government, spirit, and truth. These three are part of the nine tools of the covenant with which we touch God. These are the things that join us to him and represent Christ in our faith. Faith is not directed by the things from below or beneath, which speak to the natural man of his life, hopes, dreams, and fear. Faith follows the path of obedience to Jesus' pattern and record that separates the things from above from the things from below, as Jesus' truth frames our understanding of the will and commandments of God. This is the pattern that Jesus set for our faith, and as he lived by every word of God, Our faith follows the same pattern of obedience to God's voice. We too live by every word of God as we daily submit to the grace of God in truth, to seek Him by using the tools Jesus sanctified. Our obedience to Him must be in spirit and in truth, or the flesh will continue to follow the inclination or natural drive of man to follow his own signature. Jesus defines His life by His record of knowledge that is established in the heart of the believer as the new foundation from which we draw to know and serve Him. It is truth that the Spirit works with to transform our souls. As each of the 12 foundation stones of truth are laid in the heart, we begin to see the full image of Christ, not only in each stone that perfectly represents Him, but in the will of God to transform the soul. Let's look at the definition of regeneration. I found this helpful shortcut on the IDCCSD course, where the definition of each element can be found. Just look under the View Elements tab, and there you will find each element defined and placed in order. Regeneration. Regeneration is the element that shows us God's purpose to restore the soul to the likeness of Christ. God promised that He would give substance to the soul. A daily transition takes place, even as a butterfly emerges from his cocoon transformed. So also does the new man in Christ daily experience a divine transformation when we abide in Christ, laboring with His tools. This is God's will and purpose, to receive us again to Himself, our vessels filled with the virtue and praise of God. The waterfall in the background of this image reminds us of the ongoing role grace plays in our daily transformation. We glorify God with the fruit that we return to Him. Fruit equals virtue. These are not the fruits grafted into the vine of the moral code, but rather fruit that has grown up the vine of Jesus' covenant. Having read this, I was again reminded of how important knowledge is for faith. Without the knowledge of Christ, these words find new meaning or no meaning within the expectation that God has for faith. The life we live in Christ is defined by the holy and ordered knowledge of Jesus Christ and provides clear direction for faith to function within the boundaries of the covenant. To experience the life of Christ, we have to work with the same knowledge and tools that bring us into agreement with Him. Let's look at Hebrews 10 verse 20. By a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh. The new and living way is covenant faith. The tools of the covenant have been sanctified by God and empowered to bring the soul into the fullness of His image by this daily transformation. When faith follows the record of Christ as we have received it in truth, He is at the center of transformation. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12 to 14. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Grace is the power of God to reveal Christ, and as the seed of the conscience is awakened to know and serve Him, we continue in the liberty of our faith in Christ as we daily go through the spiritual transformation. God's grace continues to daily give strength to the will, revealing Christ to us for the obedience of faith. Life is defined by the revelation of Christ that we mold our confidence and trust to. Apart from regeneration, there can be no life. That's why the Christ-centered life is defined by this inner working of the Holy Spirit. We are not enduring this change in our own strength. We have received the Holy Spirit that teaches us God's wisdom, empowers our choices of faith as we reason with grace, and comforts the soul as it is transitioned. Let's look at Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Christ makes us free from these powers that work with the natural man's design, which works our death and manifest death presence. This is what we are overcoming and need to discern, because although we walk by the Spirit, the presence of death daily surrounds us, and its presence has an effect that has to be brought into subjection to Christ. Jesus is at the center of spiritual transformation that takes place in the soul and separated us from the world from this purpose, that we would have life in Him. This describes our participation in recognizing which kingdom is being manifested and the choice that has to be made. As we reflect on God's purpose for faith to take on the image of Christ, it becomes clear that life must be defined from the same perspective. We are reflecting on how there are two kingdoms present and how God has called us to build for Him and not for self. When reflecting to bring contrast like this, we are using truth as the scale of discernment upon which all things are measured to Christ. He set this pattern for our life in Him, even seen in how Jesus denied Satan's temptations by reflecting on the plan of God. Jesus set the pattern for faith to follow revelation, resistance, and reward. This describes our cycles of growth, which are life unto life. The life we live in Christ is walked out daily as we go through these cycles of growth. This is what it means to walk by the Spirit. The path of the Spirit is laid in truth and begins with God's daily issuance of grace. We prepare our hearts for the process of regeneration, daily knowing that this is the path of the Spirit and that faith has been assigned to this path. To live for Christ, in Him, and through Him, for His purpose. Although we are in view of the natural man, or self, we learn to compare and weigh these powers on the scale of Christ's knowledge and no longer on the scale of the moral code. Having truth as the true scale, we are able to endure the process of transformation according to God's design with the power of His kingdom and the provision He has made for us to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. He has equipped us with everything we need to be partakers of His life, and every choice of faith joins us to His divine power that brings forth the divine change. Jesus said in John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in Me, though he were dead in his sins, yet shall he live." Through this joining to Christ through the Spirit, we live through Him. Although the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. This is the life we live in Christ, as His life is daily formed within us through the process of regeneration, and therefore we gladly suffer with Him, that we may reign with Him also. God joined our faith to Jesus' covenant, that our faith contains what He is. The life we live in Christ has to be defined by the things that join us to Him. As we touch Him with the tools of the covenant, He is resurrecting His life in the soul. This is our joy and hope, and the experience of everyone that lives a life in Christ. We carry His testimony upon our lips as we, through our charity, bear witness to this ongoing work in the soul. When the soul reflects Christ, the mind reflects His perspective. Ephesians 4 verse 23 to 27. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth." God heals the soul, and the product of this work is reflected in the renewed mind. So the change comes from within, not from without. It may seem easy enough to rely on your own logic and reason to forge a new path of faith, but Christ-centered spiritual transformation is not initiated by the flesh. It comes from the power of God's grace and is joined to the inner transformation the Spirit brings through regeneration. Making these important distinctions for faith are a daily part of our life in Christ. We walk out our days seeking to please Him, learn from Him, and abide in the covenant, because it is His life in us that completes and fills the soul. The experience of Christ's life in us is reflected in our perspective that reflects God's perspective, and charity that is born from the inner working of Christ's life within. This is a life centered on Christ. I've reached the end of my teaching. Thank you for joining me today. Again, this is Pastor Yane. If you would like to learn about God's restored government and how to transition into covenant, please reach out to me on our website at saw.org.